Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Foundation Bible Study here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. We believe that the study of Scripture is important for us as followers of Christ, and I hope that you find this week's study on the Gospel of Matthew meaningful and inspiring in your own personal life. Our Bible study meets each Wednesday at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary. And I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and the Family Life Center. And as always, you can find us at our website, www.fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMC Borough. The purpose of our Bible study is to help us fulfill our mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's study helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. We've got some important stuff this evening. Remember on the first night that we talked about, we said one of our goals in our study is that we wanted to be participants and not spectators. Remember when we said that? Participants and not spectators. We're reading and studying about something that happened a long, long time ago. And we can read it that way and be real safe. Are you with me? You can read it and be real safe. That, oh, this is something that happened a long time ago. I'll just read that as an outsider, a spectator looking in on something that happened to somebody else. That's one way to read it. That's the safe way to read it. Or we can read it as participants. That is, we read it as something that happened a long time ago, but it's still happening today in our lives. We talk about the living Scriptures. That's what makes the Scriptures living, is that they continue to live on. And that's the way I want. And that's the way I want us to see this tonight. As I was doing my study, and I was, I became a participant in these passages of Scripture, and I saw where they were alive in my life, in Amy's life, and the things that we've been through over this this past weekend. I'm going to share some of that with you tonight. I know where most of this Bible study is going to go tonight because I've prepared. I've put in a lot of time. I know where it's going to go. And most nights I know where it's going to go all the way through. But I'm just going to let you in on a little something. I don't know exactly where this is going to end up tonight. Okay? I'm going to let the Spirit lead as we go. Because here's the deal. I've got Guatemala all over me. Do you hear what I'm saying? I've got Guatemala all over me. It's just all over me. I told you this the last time I went. I wanted it to last for a long time. It lasted for a while. You know what? It rubs off. I don't like that. Rubs off. I got about 5.5 more months before I go back in February. Amy and I go back for the work part of our mission trip. I don't want this to rub off until then, but it's hard to keep it on. But I'm going to tell you, it's on tonight, and you're going to see evidence of that as we go through this study. So we'll see where it takes us towards the end. Okay. God's been at work in your life today. Did you see it? God has been at work in your life today. Did you feel that? Did you see it? Or did you look the other way? Do you ever look the other way? I do. I look the other way sometimes. There are times that God has been at work in my life and I didn't see it. I didn't pay attention to it. You know, a lot of life is knowing what it is you're looking for. There were two boys out playing in the driveway one day, basketball. They were playing a little one-on-one. One of them wore contact lenses. One of his contacts popped out. And man, they got down there and they looked and they looked and looked. You ever tried to find a contact lens on concrete? I'm going to tell you, it's like it's impossible. He looked and looked and looked and looked. Couldn't find it. Couldn't find that contact lens. His mother pulled up. She saw him out there, hands and knees, looking. She stopped the car out in the street, walked up, said, what's going on? He said, well, I lost one of my contacts. And he said, can't find it. I guess we're going to have to get another one. His mother got down on her hands and knees and started looking on her hands and knees, looking for that contact lens. Within about 60 seconds, she found that contact lens. Them boys have been looking and looking and looking. 60 seconds, she found it. Boy turned to his mother. He said, we've been looking and looking and looking. Couldn't find it. Took you 60 seconds. How come? She said, it's because y'all were looking for a piece of plastic. I was looking for $150. What are you looking for? What do you see? What do you see? Hey, listen to me. Let's be serious. God's been at work in your life today. God's been at work in my life today. Did you see it? Did you see it? That's a big part of what we're going to talk about tonight. Chapter 3. Turn to chapter 3. We're going to look at chapter 3. Part of chapter 4 tonight. So we're going to cover a little bit more ground than we've been covering. But we're going to read a lot of this tonight. So chapter 3, let's start. You've heard the story of the burning bush, right? Here's one of the things I hear a lot as a pastor. I've heard this, I don't know how many times I've heard this in 35 years of being a pastor. I hear people say, you know what, if I could just see a burning bush. You know, have you ever had those times where you want to know? It's kind of like, what do I do? Do I do this or do I do this? You got a hard decision or there's a challenge in your life. There's something that, you know, and something that you're dealing with. So I wish God would just tell me what he wants me to do. And I hear people oftentimes say, maybe you've said it, yeah, if I could just see a burning bush. Man, if God would just send me a burning bush. God, would you send me a burning bush? Here's what I believe. I believe God sends burning bushes all the time. All the time. Burning bushes are not extraordinary events. Burning bushes happen all the time. God has been at work in your life today. Did you see it? Did you see God at work in your life today? Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Remember what's happened? Man, Moses was living this life, this exciting life, you know, in the palace of the king with the Pharaoh. Remember? Oh, I wonder how exciting that was when Moses was there. This exciting life. Oh, there must have been stuff happening all the time. You know where Moses is now? Remember? Remember he killed the Egyptian. Pharaoh was after him to kill him. And what did Moses do? He ran off. And where did he run to? He ran to Midian. Remember when he got to Midian, Jethro offered him one of his daughters. He married one of those daughters. And now we find him, he's there in Midian. It's a completely different life. What's it like? You can imagine. It's dull. It's boring. He's out there. You know what Moses is doing now? He's a shepherd. Moses is a shepherd. Taking the sheep out to the far side of the desert. That's what he's doing. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side, the far side of the wilderness of the desert. And he came to Oreb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. What's going on? What do we learn from this story? Here's the very first lesson that we learn from this story of the burning bush. You know when God comes? You know where God appears to us? God comes to us where it is that God wants to come to us. And so oftentimes, God comes to us in the ordinary events of life. God was at work in your life today. I'm not making this up, guys. God came to you today. God comes in the ordinary events of life. Did you see him? Did you feel him? Did you answer him? Did you listen to God in your life. Moses is doing what? What's Moses doing? What's Moses doing? Taking care of the sheep. You know what he's doing? What he's been doing for, we don't know how long now, but he's been doing it for a long time. Moses is doing what he got up and did every single day. I want you to hear this part now. Moses was doing what he did every single day. And God came to him. Listen, you know me. And I've told you, I believe worship's important. I believe worship is really important because we get focused in. We get focused in worship. And that's where we can listen and hear and pay attention to God because we're zeroed in. I think it's important to have times of worship. I think it's important to have grand days of worship like we're going to have this Sunday. I think it's really important for our whole church to come together. We're going to come together. We're going to be focused in. And God can speak to us in a special way. I've teased with you about not being a retreat person, but I'm going to tell you what I know about retreats. You have a retreat and you get away, God can come to you in a special way. God came to me in a special way this past January. I've shared that with you. I went to a men's retreat. All you guys, I want you to be ready for this year, for this next men's retreat. I want you to mark that down. When the dates are announced, I want you to get it down on your calendar. I want you to make the commitment that you're going to go that weekend. Because I'm going to tell you, special things can happen when you get away. And when you focus in and you let God speak to you. But I also want you to hear this. God is not dependent on our worship services and on our retreats to come to us. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's not dependent upon that. God comes to us in the everydayness of life. What was Moses doing? Moses was doing what he did every single day. How many times did he walk that same path over and over and over again? He's just doing what he did every single day. Look at what's happening. He's keeping his flock of his father-in-law Jethro. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight. Here's the second lesson that we learn. First lesson. God comes to us in the midst of the ordinary. Don't minimize that. God comes to you. God came to Moses when he was out taking the sheep to the far side of the desert. God comes to you on your drive in to work tomorrow morning. God comes to you when you're sitting behind your computer screen at work in the middle of the afternoon. God can come to you when you're out on the golf course. God comes to you when you're sitting on the telephone talking to a dear friend who's maybe going through a difficult time. God comes to us in the everydayness of life. But in order to present himself, our story tells us this evening, in order to make his presence known, God has to get our attention. So he comes to us in the ordinariness of life. But in order to present himself, God has to get our attention. So what happened? Today, just like any other day, Moses doing what he's always done. He's taking care of the sheep. And out of that, as he's walking down this path that he's walked down no telling how many hundreds of times, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Now then, don't stop there. This is what so oftentimes we do when we talk about the burning bush. People want to stop there. They just want to hammer the burning bush. They just want, wait a minute, what kind of bush was it? What made it fire? Here's this bush that was burning, but it wasn't turning into ash. It's a crazy thing. And people want to know, how did that happen and what caused it? What was going on? Look, the scriptures don't tell us that. They don't answer any of those questions. So don't get hung up on the burning bush. Are you with me? Don't get hung up on that. Keep moving. Moses saw this burning bush. Then what does the scripture tell us? The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Now keep going. And he looked. And lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Now verse 3. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Do you see what's going on? God has his attention. God used the burning bush to get his attention. And when Moses saw that, he said, look, God, what's going on? So he turns to see the bush. But when he turns to see the bush and God has his attention, what does God do? Well, keep reading. Moses said, I'm going to turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. That's why he's turned. He's turning to see, hey, what's going on? But he doesn't find out why the bush was not burning. Don't get hung up on that. What happens? Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see. Isn't this amazing? This is amazing stuff to me. When God saw that he turned aside to see, when God knew that he had Moses' attention, that's when God could make himself known to Moses. That's when God could present himself to Moses. When the Lord saw that he turned aside, look what happened. God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. That is, to me, an important lesson for us out of this little simple little story, amazing story. Is that God used this bush to get Moses' attention. When he got his attention, that's when God could present himself to Moses and make himself known. So here's my question. Second question. First question. First statement tonight is God's been at work in your life. He's been at work in my life. Did we see him? Here's the first question then. Have you seen any burning bushes? You had any burning bushes in your life? Do you have a burning bush today? Was there something that happened in your life today, something that happened in your life this past week, something that's happened in your life this past month? Is there something that's happened that God used that to get your attention in a special way so that God could make his presence known to you, so that he could come to you with his calling in your life? That happened to you? See, here's what I believe. I believe burning bushes are all around us. I think they're all around us. And I think they're around us every day if we have the eyes of faith to be able to see them. I really was not going to talk about Guatemala, because I'm afraid you guys are going to get tired of hearing about it. But since nobody wrote me and said we're sick of hearing about Guatemala, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Guatemala. Because God presented himself to Amy and me in the midst of a burning bush, and we saw it. We saw it. A lot of you have asked how the trip was. The trip was wonderful. It was a wonderful trip. I wasn't making it up when I told you last week we got up. The alarm rang at 1:30 a.m. That wasn't a mistaken alarm. That was what we set it for, 1:30. Because we knew that we needed to be walking out of the house by 2:30. We were walking out of the house at 2:25. Amy likes to be on time. We got to the airport and were in the lobby checking in by 3:30. We were boarding the plane at 4:50. Did you know the airport was open that early? The airport is open, but nothing else is. Did you know that? Nothing else is. Nothing else. Starbucks doesn't open until 4:30. We flew to Atlanta, had a little of a layover. That's where we got breakfast. After our layover, then we made our 3.5-hour flight to Guatemala City. We got to Guatemala City. Then we got it somewhere between a 3 and 4 hour drive to Mazatenango, where we stay. It's really just down the road, but you got to go around the world to get there. That's the way things operate in Guatemala. And it depends, the length of the trip depends upon how long it takes you to get out of Guatemala City. We got there in time for supper, unpacked, went, got a little supper. Stopped at, it's a tradition to stop at Sarita's and have ice cream. We got that. Headed back to the motel, finished unpacking. We were in bed by 9 o'clock. I said something to Amy, though. I said, do you realize we've been up 20 hours? 20 hours. Holy moly. Wow. Eating breakfast at 6:30 the next morning. because we had to be on the road to go see Dr. Sergio and his wife, Veronica. We had some news for them. What was interesting is what we found out when we got there. You know, it's just, look, it's poverty, you know. It's in the areas where we work, it's just poverty. Shakala, the area that we work, this little village where Dr. Sergio was set up, it's just poverty. It's just poor people. That's all that lives there. And so it's tough. We built a house for Dr. Sergio. He's still paying off some of the property that he bought to put that house on. And he's still paying off property for the hospital. He runs a clinic and a hospital. He had a dream of having a second clinic in a town called San Antonio, which is bigger. It's actually a town. He had people that were not Mayans that were not being treated. He felt like they needed to have medical treatment. So he's leasing out a building. The problem is that people who have some money, they learn that they can gouge you. I mean, if you don't have any other choice, they can gouge you. And so they're just gouging him with rent. And so that was a part of our dream, was to build him a clinic so that you know, it'll be paid for when we finish it, and he won't have to worry about the rent. That frees him up a little bit. When we got there, we discovered that the clinic really had not had any work done on it since we left last February. And what we found out was, it was a couple. Gosh, they were just a wonderful couple. Their name's Jim and Diane. They had been in Guatemala for 16 years. Jim was able to retire. And when they retired from the business that he had here in the United States, they formed this medical mission in Guatemala called Boca Costa. Well, they retired this year. Jim has had some health problems, and they retired. A part of what they did is they helped raise money. They had some donors. They helped raise money to run the hospital. Dr. Sergio needed about $1,500 a month, about $18,000 a year to run this hospital. That took care of expenses at the hospital. That took care of kind of paying him a little bit of a reimbursement, a little bit of a salary. Because here's the deal. They would like for the patients to pay something, maybe 15%, maybe 20%. A few of them can. Most of them can't. And so this medical mission was really what was sustaining Dr. Sergio. And it was the way that he was able to, you know, survive, but also pay off part of the property loan that he has for the next 7 years. When Jim and Diane retired 6 months ago, what we discovered is most of the donors that they had lined up, they stopped giving. So what we found out is that the clinic was running, but the hospital hadn't been running. And there's, as Dr. Sergio said, there's 100 patients that are waiting for surgery that he hasn't been able, to do. And as he's telling this story, it was just kind of an amazing thing happened. He's telling the story about what's going on. And we had already kind of told him why we were there. We hadn't told him exactly everything, but he knew that we had come to help. And he said they really just didn't know what they were gonna, do. And at that time, I looked over at his wife, Veronica, and she started to weep. You've seen people weep. Have you ever wept? See, I think there's a difference in crying and weeping. I don't know. Maybe that's a semantics, but I think there's a difference. You ever seen somebody weep? She started weeping. Weeping. And I knew at that moment that I was looking at a burning bush. Does that make sense to you? I knew I wasn't just seeing a woman cry. I knew that I was in the presence of a burning bush. One of the reasons I knew that, one of my favorite authors for years is a guy named Frederick Buechner. And Frederick Buechner was being interviewed several years ago, and somebody asked him, they said, Dr. Buechner, how is it that you know that you are in the presence of God? You know what he said? He said, I watch for those moments of life that bring tears to my eyes. Those are the moments when I know I'm closest to God. That's been true in my life, all my life. Those moments that bring tears are those moments you know that God is close by. And I knew something was about to happen. And that's when Dr. Sergio, then the next thing, when God had my attention, you see what I'm saying? God uses the burning bushes to get our attention. When he's got our attention, God presents himself to us. You know what Dr. Sergio said? He said, we didn't know what we were going to do last month. And 1 month later, here you are. Here you are. You know what also has happened in the midst of that? They had a volcano down there, a volcano eruption, remember? And of course, then not long after that, then Hawaii had a volcano eruption. You know what happens? You know what happens in the midst of that? You know, you forget the first one, you remember the second one. Nothing against Hawaii. I don't mean that. But you know, all of our attention goes to Hawaii. We kind of leave Guatemala. Here's a guy that barely has two nickels to rub together. And he started to tell us about all these people that he had gotten to know that lived on the side of that volcano. 3,000 of them have just disappeared. That doesn't mean they're dead. It doesn't mean they're 3,000 are dead. They just don't know where they are because they lost everything in life. And he's gone to try to help some of these people, and he's what little he's had, and instead of taking that little for his family, he's taken that to give to these people over here. Somebody, they asked him, this guy said, why do you do that? Why do you serve? In fact, he was a wealthy sugar cane plantation owner. Ask him. He said, why do you do this? Why do you serve these people and give to these people on the volcano? Why do you do that? You know what his answer was? He said, because I'm a Christian. It's just because I'm a Christian. That's why I did it. It's because I'm a Christian. It was just as simple as that. Christians do that. This is what Christians do. And so we were able, because of you guys, generosity of some of the people that are not a part of this congregation, here's what we were able to say to them. We were able to say, listen, here's the deal. We're going to finish your clinic. Okay, the clinic's got to be finished by December the 1st. That's the deal. You've got the money now to finish the clinic. That's the first deal. I said, the second deal is we're going to build your hotel. This is what he needs, 5 rooms. He needs 5 rooms. Those 5 rooms will have, each room will house 6 to 10 people. Okay? Each room. Amy says six. 6 to 10 people, like I said. They're going to have bunk beds. They're going to have bunk beds in there. Some of them may sleep on the floor because sometimes they bring a family of 10. You have 5 rooms, each with a bathroom. That's what we're building. We said we're going to build that, and we got enough money then that we're going to be able to sustain your hospital for the next 4 years so that you're back in operation. These 100 patients that you've got that are waiting, you can start on them tomorrow. Tomorrow is because of you guys in the midst of that. Now, look, you remember what happened to Moses? Moses there in the midst of the burning bush. The burning bush gets his attention. Where has God gotten your attention? I'm going to talk this long to get this. Where is it that God has gotten your attention? Where is it that he's gotten your attention so that he can make himself known to you, so that he can talk to you and speak to you and nudge you and urge you and challenge you and push you into doing something that you think you can't do? Where are those burning bushes for you? Listen, here's what I'm saying. They're all around. I believe they happen every day. Every day, if we've just got the eyes of faith to be able to look and to see. You remember what Moses did? Let's keep reading. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside, God called to him out of the bush, and Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. That phrase literally means, I'm your obedient servant. I'm here in obedience to you. Here am I. It's used all over the scriptures. I'm ready to obey. Now, what we're going to find out is it's a whole lot easier to say that than to actually do it. But he said, here am I. And then God said to him, do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. See, that's our holy ground. That little room where we met in Guatemala on Friday, and I watched Veronica cry, and I watched her weep, and I watched Dr. Sergio cry, and when I watched the smiles come to their faces when we said, you're going to be able to do this. When I heard him say that the people that he served had empty, this was his quote, they have empty pockets but happy hearts. Empty pockets but happy hearts. When I saw the difference in this, I'm going to tell you something, guys. That little room will be holy ground for me the rest of my life. That will be holy ground. I'll never walk into that room and see it the same way again. Do you have holy ground in your life? Are there places where God has spoken? Those places where God gets your attention and speaks to you, that's holy ground. Those places are your places of holy ground. Verse 7. Then the Lord said, I've seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. So he's got Moses' attention. Now he starts moving into the call. Notice what he says. I've seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry. Remember we talked about this last week, about God seeing, hearing, and knowing? Look at how he says it in our lesson tonight. I've seen the affliction of my people. We worship a God who pays attention and knows what's going on in our life and knows our needs. I've seen, he said, the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of the taskmasters. So he sees what's going on in our lives. He hears our cries when we feel oppressed, when we're down, when we're hurting, when we can't put one foot in front of the other. I've heard their cry, the cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sufferings. He sees, he hears, and he knows. Now look at the next verse. And I have come down to deliver them. Our God that we worship, here's what our story is telling us tonight. The God we worship is not a God who puts us in life and then leaves us alone. God said, look, I've heard, I've seen, I know, and I've come down. What's he come down to do? I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. But see, that's not the complete redemption. That's only halfway. I've come to deliver them out of bondage. But notice the next part, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey to the place, the Canaanites, so on and so forth. So notice what he's done. He's bringing them out of bondage, but not just that. That's not the complete redemption. Not just out of bondage, but he's come to bring them to a new way of life. It took two people to do that, remember? Moses brought them out of bondage. Who brought them into the promised land? Who? Joshua. We're going to read about Joshua later as we move into Exodus. Took two to do that. Moses brought them out of bondage. Joshua brought them into the promised land. Moses brought them out of darkness. Joshua brought them into the new light of the new life. Here's something that's kind of interesting. You know what the Greek form in the New Testament, the Greek form of Joshua is? You know this, don't you? The Greek form of Joshua is what? The Greek form of Joshua is what? It's Jesus. The Greek form of Joshua is Jesus. I just find that interesting. Greek form of Joshua is Jesus. Jesus is the one who completes the redemption of bringing us out of darkness into new light. So he doesn't just bring us out of the bondage in our lives. He brings us into something new that's life-giving. Verse 9, and now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, and I'm going to send you. Now remember what God had said to Moses. He said, I've seen, I've heard, I know, and I have come down. But notice he didn't say, and I'm going to do all the work. Do you find that interesting? I just find that an interesting part of the story. God says, I've seen it, I've heard it, I know it, and I've come down. But you're going to be the one that's going to bring them out. You're going to be the one that's going to do the work. Look at how it says it there. Now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me. I've seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, Moses, and I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that you bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. You're going to be the one that's going to do it. I've seen it. I've heard it. I know about it. I've come down. But I'm calling on you to be the one to deliver them out of their oppression. I'm going to use you. And Moses said to God, I'm your guy. Send me wherever you want me to go. I trust you that you're going to be with me. And I'll do whatever it is that you call me to do. Is that what your Bible says? No, we've got the first excuse. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? God said, there's hurt all around you, Moses. There's hurt all around you. These people are crying. I've heard them. They're hurting and I've seen it. They don't know how they're going to put one foot in front of the other, and I know that. And so I've come down. And I need you to be my guy. I need you to be my guy. I want you to go, and I want you to show them the way. And Moses said, who am I? Doesn't that sound overwhelming to you, this call of Moses? Has God ever called upon you to do something and you felt just overwhelmed by it? You felt like you weren't good enough? Remember me telling you last Wednesday about Amy wanting me to go to Guatemala with her? Donnie Mitchell wanted me to go to Guatemala. Remember what I told you that I said? You know, wait a minute. I don't know what to do, you know? I don't know which end of a hammer to hold. How am I going to be of any help? Do you see the excuse that's going on there? Do you see what Moses is saying here? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Well, that's just too much. I mean, oh my gosh, I can't do that. What did God say to him? What did God say in your Bible? What did God say to him? Moses said, I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. I can't do this. I don't have what it takes. This is overwhelming. It's too much for me. It's too much, too much, too much. What did God say? God said, I'm going to be with you. God said, but look, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. Skip over to down to verse 13. So Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now listen, biblical scholars have been wrestling for ages about what that those words mean. But let's get at what's really important in this part of the passage. Here's excuse number two. God says, okay, let's say I go to these people to say, hey, I'm here to help you and I'm here to deliver you. And what if they say, what's God's name? In that day, to know God's name meant that you had a relationship with God. You knew his character. Knowing his name, you had a relationship. You see what the lesson is for us here? So God calls upon us, first church. There's people out there. There's tasks before you. There's mission out there. We talked about it 2 Sundays ago, we're going to talk about it again this Sunday. Go make disciples, growing disciples of Christ, to know him, love him, and serve him. That sounds overwhelming to me, doesn't it, to you guys? It seems overwhelming to do that. What? Us? Because yes, God said, I've seen that there are people hurting in Murfreesboro. I've seen that there are people, I've heard their cries. I know what's going on, and I've come down, but I'm calling on you guys to go do something about, oh gosh, we can't do us. Us? I just want to sit on the couch and eat ho-hos. You want me to go out here and make a dip? Yeah, and God said, I'm going to be with you. Well, wait a minute. Who do we tell them is sending us? What Moses is really saying there, what God is reminding us, if you know my name, you're in relation. When we are in relationship with God, people feel that, they sense that, they know that. We're in relationship with God. Here's the third excuse. Skip to chapter 4, first verse of chapter 4. Then Moses answered, but behold, they're not going to believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say the Lord did not appear to you. That's his third excuse. Moses says, but behold, people out there are not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to me. They're going to say the Lord didn't appear to you. In other words, what Moses is saying here, is there anything in my life that verifies that I'm in relationship with you and that you're the one that's calling me to do this? In other words, what Moses is getting at here is, Does his life match up with the testimony? So that's a question for us, isn't it? Does our life match up with the testimony? We've got the testimony. We got the testimony. We got the challenge. Go make disciples. Grow disciples and know Him, love Him, and serve Him. Go serve. Go be with. Go find needs and meet those needs. We've got the testimony. Christ is our Savior. We've got the testimony. Jesus died on the cross to save us of our sins. We've got the testimony. We say that Jesus is the Lord of our life. We've got the testimony. The deal is does our life match up with the testimony? Are you with me? Life match up with the testimony. And hear what Moses was kind of questioning. Wait a minute. Is there anything in my life that verifies that you're really my God? And then the last excuse, verse 10. And then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, either heretofore or since thou hast spoken to thy servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." Whew, man, I ain't got what it takes. How am I going to go talk to these folks when I just don't talk good, you know? I just don't talk good. I get nervous and stutter around. People can't understand what I'm saying. Has that ever happened to you? God called you to do something? Maybe you felt God calling you to teach. You say, "I can't do that. I don't talk good. You know, you felt God calling you to serve, and you say, "I don't know. I can't do that. I don't know which end of the hammer to hold. And besides that, I'm too busy. You know, I got too much going on. Way too much going on." Do you see what Moses is doing? Do you see what he's doing all the way through? And you remember how God, some of you have read this. Remember what God said to Moses? What did he say? God said, "Listen, you don't have to worry about that, Moses. I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to give you the words to say. I'm going to tell you what it is that you need to do. You don't have to worry about it." You ever been in a situation where you didn't know, you had no clue what it was you were going to say or how you were going to respond, and God guided you through? Have I told you guys about the time that I was with Amy and I were living in Slidell, Louisiana? It's a long time. I was in my 30s. We were living in Slidell. I got a call one night. It was around graduation time. We had a high school graduating senior. Graduated, gosh, time of her life, you know, just graduated high school. Man, she's on top of the world. There was a group of them that were driving over from Slidell over to Florida to, you know, celebrate their graduation. A drunk driver crossed the yellow line, hit her head on, killed her. Bam, like that. Less than 24 hours earlier, she had walked through that line, gotten her diploma. Within 24 hours, drunk driver, I got a call. I went over to that mom and daddy's house. I can remember to this day sitting out in that, I can remember pulling up their house. I can close my eyes and I can see their house. I pulled up their house and I stopped. And I sat there in that car. And I said, "Lord, look, you're going to have to help me. Man, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. What do you say? What do I say to these parents? What do I say?" I walked up to that door, knocked on it. Parents greeted me. We walked in. I don't know how long I stayed there. Hour, 2 hours. You know what I did? I just listened and nodded and cried. Then I listened and I nodded and I cried. And then I listened and I nodded and I cried. And when I got up to leave, the mother hugged me, and you know what she said to me? I'll never forget this. She said, "Thank you for coming. You'll never know how much your words have helped." I just listened and nodded and cried. That's all I did, was listen and nod and cry. But God used me. Do you believe God can use you? Do you believe God can use you? Have you ever said to God, "I'm not good enough. I don't have enough. I can't do that"? Have you ever said that? Who has said that in here? Do you believe that God can be your spokesperson and can help you do things that you thought you could never do? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You see what's going on? Now look, one more lesson, and we're going to be through tonight, okay? One more lesson. Look at verse, let's just keep reading. Verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, no, skip down to, no, okay. Verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, either heretofore or since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be your mouth, and I'll teach you what it is that you shall speak. Now verse 13 is really important. But Moses said, O my Lord, send, I pray, somebody else. So what has he said? This is overwhelming. I'm not good enough. Who is it that I'm, who should I tell them and send me? What's your name? Then he said, hey, look, are they going to believe me? I mean, is there anything in my life that's going to verify that I'm in relationship with you? Then he said the fourth thing. Look, I just don't know how to talk. He says, excuse. And then what happens? The fifth thing he says, you know what he says? Forget all the excuses. Here's what he's saying. Tell me if I'm not right about this. Isn't this what he's saying? He's saying, listen, let's just cut to the chase. I don't want to do it. Isn't that what he's saying? He's run out of excuses. I just don't want to do it. God said, I've seen people, I've heard them, I know, I've come down, and you're going to be the one that's going to do it. First Church, Murfreesboro, I've seen, I've heard, I know, I've come down, and guess what? I'm calling you. That's what Christians do. Dr. Searchy was right. Why do you do this? It's what Christians do. Because I'm a Christian. And God said, this is what I want you to do, First Church. You know what happens to us? And I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about any church. You know what happens to us? It's happened to me. I don't know how many times I've done it. We start making excuses. Well, I'm not good enough. I don't have enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not wealthy enough. I don't talk good enough. I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. You know what it boils down to? I've been to Guatemala. I've got it all over me. You know what happens? You know what all of that means? Here's what it means. It just simply means I don't want to. Just don't want to. Come on, I don't want to. That's hard work. I don't want to do that. I'd rather sit on the couch and eat ho-hos. You guys with me? And when we get to that point, that's when God's ready for us to say, look, no, you can't do it, but I'm with you and I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to find a way, but I need you to accept my call. Are you guys with me? You guys with me? You know what I learned this past weekend? I want to tell you something. There are times when you realize that God is using you. God has used you guys. God has used you guys. They ain't any other lines of people waiting to help Dr. Sergio. There's not anybody else. People ask me, they've asked me, why do you go all the way to Guatemala when there's hurts in Murfreesboro? I know there's hurts in Murfreesboro. Guatemala's my passion. You find your passion. You go do your passion. You go do your passion. Live your passion. But don't poo-poo my passion. Did I say that in the sanctuary? But you find yours. You find yours where God is calling you. But here's what I did for so long. I made excuses that I wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough. God has nothing to do with that. Do you remember what it said in our Bible tonight? You keep reading. You know what happened? How did God respond to Moses when he said, hey, you know what? Look, here's the truth, okay? Here's it. I'm just get a little more right down to it. I don't want to do it. And how did God respond? God got angry. Because God's had enough. God said, God's angry. God's angry because he's tired of the excuses and tired of the, what do you mean you don't want to? I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Now we can read that, guys. We can read that as a spectator, or we can read that as a participant. How do we participate in this? Here's what this has been saying to me this week. And this is what I want to, just forgive me. I got Guatemala all over me, okay? Here's the deal. I've been here with you for a year now, a little over a year. Gosh, you are wonderful people. Amy and I feel privileged to be a part of you, privileged to be here with you. This is a wonderful church. But there's one thing that has been crippling this church. This is just my observation. If you can tell me tonight if I'm wrong, you walk out of here and say, hey, I think you're wrong about that. That's okay. I may be wrong. But here's been my observation. The one thing that is keeping us from being what we can really be is the thing that's crippling. You know what it is? What is it? I'm not looking for something theological. What is it? Debt. It's the one thing. Debt. I've heard it since I've been here. It was in the first finance committee meeting I was a part of. Debt. Debt. We got this debt. We got this debt. It's beating us down. It's worn us down. Debt, 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 debt. Oh, this debt. We got this debt. We need to pay off this debt. Listen, guys. God wants to use us. We cannot use that as an excuse. We can. That is an excuse. Are you guys with me? Listen, you better listen close. This may be my last one. By the time I get finished tonight, I may not be your pastor anymore. It's the one thing. We get out from underneath that, and I'm going to tell you something. The skies open up for all these possibilities. We're doing it now. You know how much we spent in missions last year, 1 year ago? $50,000. We spent $50,000. Now that's over and above apportionments, and apportionments in the Methodist Church are missions. Okay, so you start, if you pay apportionments, you're doing missions. Okay, so that's around $300,000. But on top of that, we did $50,000. This year, by the middle of the year, we'd already done $50,000 out of the budget. But in addition to the budget, we've done Living a Better Story. And we've done things like Guatemala. You know what we've already done? Adding up Guatemala and Living a Better Story? We're well on the way to $300,000 in missions this year. Does that blow your mind? That blows my mind. But if we get out from under this debt, we've got $250,000 every year more that we're able to go and do. And God is saying, there's hurts out there, people of First Church. There's hurts out there, and you can do something about it. I've been criticized in my ministry, and one of the things I've had people say as a criticism is, you dream too big. You dream too big. You need to get realistic. I've had people say that to me. You dream too big. You need to get realistic. You need to get realistic. Where does it say that in here? I can't find it. I can't find it in here. You know what I find in here? I find a God who calls somebody like Moses who couldn't put two words together. And God called Moses and said, Moses, you're the one that who's going to do what? Lead my people out of bondage into a whole new way of life. Who's going to do that? A shepherd in Midian is going to do that. That's what our God can do. That's what our God can do. Here's my dream. My dream is that by Back to Christ Sunday next year, we're burning our note. Some of you are going to say, what? You dream too big, man. You dream way too big. You dream way too big. You need to get a big dose of realism. Let me tell you something. Our God is way bigger than that, and we've got the means here in this church. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Am I the only one that believes that? Am I the only one that believes that? I believe God can do whatever God wants to do through this church. And I believe it's right here. And I'm saying to you tonight, we need to get out from under that because the means are here. You know what Dr. Sergio would say to us? I told Amy this. If Dr. Sergio knew what we had, he would be saying, what do you worry about? Why are you worried, you rich person, you? And here's a guy that took what little he had and gave it away when he didn't know what was going to happen for tomorrow because there were people that were worse off than he was who'd been blown off the side of that volcano. And somebody said, why do you do that? And he said, because I'm a Christian. Because I'm a Christian. Are we Christians? Yes. I heard it back there. Yes. Yes, and I'm going to tell you this. I believe God has plans for you and me that we've never dreamed of. We've never dreamed of. You know what part of them is? He wants us to be people that are a part of His redemption plan of taking people from the darkness and the bondage of their life into a new life. Into a new life. Into a new life. And I want to know, are you there with me? Who's there with me? Who's there with me? I've been to Guatemala. Are you with me? Who's with me? You with me? Who's with me? You with me? Who's 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 with me? I'm going to tell you something. I've seen the power of Christ this weekend. I've seen what Jesus can do. I've witnessed it in my own life and in my own heart. And it's bigger than anything that we can ever imagine. And guys, we've just touched the surface of what God wants us to do. That's what I truly, truly believe. But we can't talk about it and wait for somebody else to do it. We've all got to do it because God is calling us to do it. If you believe that, and if you are with me, would you come with me and pray at this altar tonight before we go home? God bless you. Love you.